And I heard a young preacher preach a wonderful message on John 6:37, where Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." And that night, I came to Jesus and invited him to be my Savior and Lord, and he kept his word. And he came.
Alan Barnes was clinically dead. Twice his heart stopped beating. But Alan has the assurance that death is defeated. Christ has given him the gift of eternal life. Alan will share his experience as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Mary John Wilkin and the Maranatha Singers. A rejoicing interview with a man who suffered a near-fatal heart attack. And a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you?
Assist me to
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. The person who has the Son of God has eternal life. That's what the Bible says. The Maranatha Singers. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled Inspection of the Heart. It is written by Peter G. Moore Koklos of California. Peter writes, God takes care of our external concerns and our internal fears. The scripture reference is Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. Looking out the airport window, I saw the pilot inspecting the complete exterior of the plane I was to fly home on. I was reassured by this concern and felt cared for. I had felt a real need for God's inspection and reassurance when I arrived in Nashville earlier in the week. Concerns for my ministry, family, and self seemed to have partially immobilized me. In recent years, as I have let God become a part of my faith journey, God has opened me to a richer prayer life. And God used this week of retreat to mend my more visible uncertainties and worries. As I looked at the plane again, I saw the pilot examining the engines. Then I thought how God has been interested not only in healing the worn places on my surface, but in looking at the condition of my heart. Through my prayers during this week, I have gradually become a little more honest and open with God and myself. A more complete inspection and repair of self and soul is underway. May we pray. O Lord, when fears and worries overwhelm us, open us to your care. May we discern the ways you're leading us to wholeness. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time.
Last week, we had with us on Methodist Hour the Reverend Alan Barnes, who lives in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. A wonderful minister for Christ. You're with the Church of Canada, I presume.
Right, the United Church of Canada.
United Church of Canada. And I think the church where you had me come and preach for you a few years ago, that was a former Methodist church.
But right.
United Church of Canada.
Right.
There in St. Catharines. And Alan, you told us last week how you had a sudden heart attack, pains in your elbows, and then you lost consciousness. Your heart stopped twice. Your wife had called the paramedics, and fortunately, they were there to revive you
right.
when your heart stopped. If they had not been there, you would have been gone.
I would have been gone, yes.
Your wife would not have known what to do.
No.
And they knew.
Right.
And
yes.
so your life was preserved, and you're well, you're apparently very well now, and your mind is clear, and your preaching is strong. Alan, you know, I've heard people say they had a near-death experience or where they actually died. Clinically, they were dead and then were brought back. Do you recall anything that happened to you in that episode of a supernatural nature in which you do have any memory of going through death or anything like that?
No, it was, I sort of look back now and sort of wish maybe there had been, but no, there wasn't. There was just a blackout. And then quiet and peace and a total acceptance of the love and care that surrounded me
yes.
and the prayers of God's people.
Well, Alan Barnes, you have known the Lord, and he's the Lord of life, isn't he?
He certainly is.
He's conquered death for you and for me and
right.
for everybody who will receive his gift.
He certainly has.
Yes. And Alan, when did you find the Lord? How old were you when you first found Christ?
Okay, I was still in my teen years when, to begin with, he called me into the ministry.
Yes.
Because I had helped lead a youth service, and after the service, after lunch, he told me, that's the kind of work you ought to be doing all the time.
And you were only a teenager.
I was only a teenager and a high school dropout.
Oh, my. Well, you went back and finished that high school.
So I went back into high school. And within my first year in high school, I met the girl who is now my wife, and we started dating after the first year in school, and she took me to a camp that her family was familiar with, and I heard a young preacher preach a wonderful message on John 6:37, where Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." And that night, I came to Jesus and invited him to be my Savior and Lord, and he kept his word.
And
he came.
And you came as a teenager.
Right.
And the Lord has been with you ever since.
Ever since, yes.
Yes. And so you were near death, actually clinically dead, I guess, because your heart
yeah,
stopped beating.
Right.
And yet you know with blessed assurance that you have eternal life.
Right. Right.
And it's a gift from God, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's a gift from him.
We can't earn it or deserve it, can we?
No.
We can't buy it.
No, can't buy it. I'd originally thought if I became a minister, I'd get to heaven.
Yes.
And then when I met Jesus, I found out that wasn't the way. It's Jesus who gives you the gift of life.
Yes, and he is the life.
He is
life. He said, I am the way.
Right.
I am the truth, and I am the life.
Right.
And when you have him, you have life.
You have life,
the capital
yes.
L.
Yes. And he's given me a second chance at life because he still obviously has a few things he wants me to do.
Yes. And so the gospel means good news, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
And so we preachers, we have good news to share.
Right.
It's the love of God. And how many people does the Lord want to have this gift?
He'd like everybody to have it if they'll just receive it as a precious gift.
Every soul on earth, every person,
everyone.
Christ died for all.
Whosoever will, the promise is there for all who will come.
There's a verse in the book of Revelation, whosoever will, let him come and take the gift of the water of life.
Right.
Yes. So it's wonderful good news. Nobody has to die in their sins. No one has to be lost and not know the way. And when we know Jesus, we know how to live, don't we?
Right.
Oh, it's wonderful. I've been talking with the Reverend Alan Barnes, a marvelous preacher. I wish all of our listeners could hear you preach, Alan.
Thank you.
And you're not only a brilliant preacher, but you're a great administrator and leader and organizer and just a wonderful pastor and preacher and evangelist. And I've gotten acquainted with you through the Christian ashrams. And you're an ashram leader in Canada.
Right.
So God bless you, Alan Barnes. It's been wonderful to talk with you. And you've been a dear friend across the years, and we love you. And I hope our listeners will be praying for you.
Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you, Alan. Bless you.
That was Alan Barnes.
Behold the man, this mighty man called Jesus, with calloused hands. No weakling was he, from heaven above down to this old world to teach us how to live in love and die in peace. Behold the man, he's the living revelation. He knew each hurt a human heart can stand. Every tribulation, if there ever was a man, behold the man. Behold the man. Even Pilate shook before him, condemned to die. No one could understand his gentle strength and the love that flowed within him. Let every eye behold the man. Behold the man. Yes, he even knew rejection and every hurt that a human heart can stand. There he stands, the pathway to perfection. If there ever behold the man.
That was country music writer and singer Mary John Wilkin. Behold the man. Dear friend, if you'd like to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we invite you to call the Upper Room Prayer Line. It's provided to you by the United Methodist Church and the United Methodist Men. It's a free call, 1-800-251-2468. You'll find a friend on the line who will listen to you as you unburden yourself with your problems and your needs, and will pray with you and for you. And so, don't carry your burden alone. Call the Upper Room Prayer Line, 1-800-251-2468. And write us at Methodist Hour. Our address,
Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077.
We look forward to hearing from you this week.
Trying not to be anxious. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you, Brother Witt. The lesson today is from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians 4, 4-7. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen." You know, more than 10 years had passed since Paul had made his first missionary journey to this little community. Through his efforts, a powerful church, a beautiful caring fellowship was started, and the little church just grew. It grew full of memories, and it's an incredible church there. This letter is one of those documents that has stood all the criticism of scholars through the ages. No one has even suggested that it was not written by Paul. One possibility is it may have originally been two letters pieced together, but its contents are clearly from the Apostle Paul. And this is really a very short letter. Now, I hope you'll please take the time to read it for the next few days. Just spend some time. Listen carefully to the letter as you read it. Read the text. Now, as Paul begins this letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians, this last chapter, you can just feel the remarkable sensitivity of this spiritual giant. You know, I have the feeling that so much emotion has built up inside him. There seems to be so much he wants to say to those dear friends. He just yearns for them. I hear him being like a father, like a brother, like a loving parent or a pastor. Now, to understand this letter, you need to know that Philippi was a city under Roman rule. There was a long history of gold mining in that city. Paul was severely persecuted there in Philippi for his preaching. And unfortunately, the Philippians themselves inherited a very similar kind of physical and political harassment. You see, citizens never knew when the soldiers might arrest them or imprison them. I mean, they just lived on the edge. There were many times there, times of unrest. They were scared. They were not sure. I mean, trying to hang on to their faith. Now, think about Paul's words in verse 6. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing." Now, I can't speak for you, but I know that in my life there are times when I'm very peaceful and literally anxious for nothing. But on the other hand, there have been times when I have been so anxious. The truth is that when I'm worried or fearful about some issue or family or friends, it seems almost impossible to follow the words of this text. Be anxious for nothing. I don't know if it's like that for you or not, but I have a hunch it is. You may remember that Judy, my wife, is a grief therapist, and she spent 10 years as oncology chaplain at Scottish Rite Children's Hospital in Atlanta. And she spent so many hours every week with children and families as they dealt with fear and anxiety. You know, it is such a helpless feeling to see a six-month or a six-year-old child losing the fight against cancer. It was in the fall, I remember, and Judy was at the hospital all night. About 11 o'clock that evening, I went down to see how she was doing. As I walked down the hallway toward her office, I passed the chapel. The doors were open that night, and inside the little chapel, there were two candles just giving enough light for me to see a young man sitting quietly staring at the brass cross. It was so beautiful there on the wooden altar, and I saw that he was in the room alone, so I went in and sat down beside him, and I just said, "How's it going?" He kept looking at the cross, very quiet, but finally he said, "I'm trying not to be anxious." As we talked, I learned that his infant son was critically ill, and I don't remember all of our conversation, but I do recall something he said to me that really hit home. He said, "I'm not much of a churchgoer, but I do believe in God. And I think I must have forgotten how to pray, or maybe I never really learned too well at all, but I never thought I'd have to pray for my son's life." He said, "I do know that when I come here and I just sit and I pray, I just feel better and I don't feel so anxious. You know, this young father discovered the heart of the meaning of this scripture lesson. You see, Paul does not mean that you and I can just turn our anxiousness on and off like a water faucet. He does not mean that if you just offer up a couple of prayers that you will suddenly quit worrying. No, I believe Paul is very aware of what it's like to be anxious. Think of how often he feared for his own life. Think about the persons who were persecuted, even killed, because they believed in the gospel that he had told them about. But when you read this letter, you can easily tell that he was anxious for his beloved friends there at Philippi. Paul, you know, we trusted you, and you said that it would be good, but yet we're still being persecuted. It's worse now than even before we accepted Jesus. You see, Paul's word to them is this. He says, when you're feeling anxious or worried, you don't have to go it alone. You can go to your favorite chapel and pray. Of course, by chapel, you see, he means any place or any time where you can come apart and just take the time to pray. If you're like me, when I go to pray, I usually want some specific results. Once I pray, I can't help anticipating some rather quick response to, especially from our Lord. Are you ever like that, you know? Notice what Paul says will happen when we offer our anxiousness to God through prayer and supplication. He does not say that a perfect healing will come. He doesn't say that the problem will be solved. He does not say that we will suddenly be overcome with a sense of great joy. But he does say that we will find a peace from God that, well, it passes all human understanding and comprehension. You see, like that father who was trying not to be anxious as he sat there quietly in the chapel that night, it is not so much that we should anxiously await God's response, but rather that we will receive his reassuring presence. His peace will come. It is in his calming peace that we make good and wise decisions about what to do or what not to do. Now let's take another look at the text. Can you just see Paul lingering over this little flock of his at Philippi? There is an image of how God himself is present with you and me. Paul knew he could not be with his people all of the time, yet he so desperately wanted to guard against bad things happening to them. You know, you can just hear the yearning in his words as he tries to teach them how to respond to whatever happens. He knows so well what it is like to be fearful and anxious, and he just wants to hold them and protect them from pain. I remember several years ago, we got a call one night from our daughter, Jody. She was at the hospital, and she was doing her residency at the Grady Hospital here in Atlanta. And she said, I'm having a hard time tonight, Dad. My patient just died, and I have to tell the family. It was the first patient that Jody had that she was in charge of that died. And she felt so helpless, and there were so many complications. You know, I just wanted to jump in my car and run down to the hospital just to be with her as she spoke to that family. But I, of course, could not go, and she had to do something right then. But our lives are often intersected by events that cause us to be anxious. When it happens to our loved ones, we want to reach out and try to protect them. And when it happens to our own lives and inside our own lives, our usual response is to feel uneasy or anxious. Now, friends, I want to invite you today to claim Paul's word of hope to the church at Philippi. Remember, it is a word of hope to you and me, too. When anxiousness comes, offer it to God, and then to pray, and then anticipate his peace that, well, it passes all human understanding. Lord God, we do not forget how often you were anxious in your life. When you were spending all night in prayer just trying to deal with the ways to help us and to give us courage to continue. But thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for teaching us through Paul that peace will come when we trust you with who we are. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in?
Thank you, John Wolfe, for that message. Dear friend, some modern-day Christians reject the songs of Fanny Crosby, saying they are too quaint, too old-fashioned. But Miss Crosby emphasized an experience we desperately need today, a personal relationship with God. Isn't this what Jesus came to bring us? Not a religion, but a relationship, to know God personally as Father and friend. And so Miss Crosby sang, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er, wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. In this hate-filled and deadly world, humans need a sheltering friendship with Almighty God, a personal relationship with him. And this is how we can be rid of our fears and anxieties, as John has been telling us. Give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ in trust and self-surrender. You will discover a peace that passes understanding." John Wolfe, give us your further word.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you. I just want to say a quick word. You know what I thought about? How often in my own life and in the lives of so many people we know, and in the lives of people in America as we went through this war in Iraq or after 9/11, how much anxiousness there has been, how much fear there's been in our country and in our own lives, but in the lives of people that we love. And just this whole thing is so profound to think about God's peace that can come to us. Would you ask folks just to pray for us and to claim this scripture, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi? Would you do that, Whit?
Yes, John. We need to bring people we know and love to God in prayer. Dear listener, we invite you to write us. Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Again, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours, and may the Lord bless you and keep you.